Sophie Ramsey and Chief Executive Officer.
If you could please be still remain standing for the reading of the prayer and the reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Before I start, may I please acknowledge a former councillor of ours, Councillor Maritza Yankovic, in the chambers. Welcome, Maritza. Apologies and leaves of absence.
No, Madam Mayor.
No. Changes to the order of business?
No, Madam Mayor.
Deputations?
No deputations this evening.
Thank you. Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest and conflict of interest of any councillor? Nil. Adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting for the 3rd of February. Is there a mover for these minutes?
I'd like to move the minutes.
We have a mover for the motion. Is there a seconder?
I'll second the amendment.
A mover being Councillor Majlik, the seconder being Councillor Turner. Does anyone oppose the motion? Can I see a show of hands for all those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Petitions and joint letters.
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
That's all right.
I actually have a petition here. I table a correspondence received today from the Western Highway Action Group comprising three main parts. One, a 119-page submission incorporating several attachments as supporting documentation. Two, 158 letters addressed to the Victorian Parliament members for Melton and Corroyd considered courtesy copies for information. And three, a petition comprising 25 signatures calling for the sealing of Beattie's Road from Leakes to Mount Cottrell and Mount Cottrell Road from Beattie's to Keilor Melton Highway. Thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Dunn, I've got 158 joint letters, 25 signatures on a petition, and what was the first one? 119-page submission. Thank you. Are there any other petitions or joint letters? Okay. Resumption of debate or other business carried over from the previous meeting.
No, Madam Mayor.
Public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 13 public questions this evening. And the first question is from Nicholas Gagalakos. Is Mr. Gagalakos or Gagalakos in the gallery?
Can you spell the surname,
Carol? Spelled G-A-R-G-A-L-A-K-O-S. From Brookfield? No?
No.
Not present. Written response to the question. Mr. Gagalakos has submitted two questions, so written responses will be provided directly to the questioner. Next question is from Mr. Alan Fairweather. Mr. Fairweather is in the gallery. Question reads, who looks after the council's online community guide? After eventually being forced onto the internet, I was most disappointed to find that our business, which closed 8 years ago, along with other firms I know have also closed, are still listed on the council website. As far as I am concerned, this guide should be updated every year to save people's time trying to get in touch with businesses which have closed.
Sorry, Mr. Tory, where is Mr. Fairweather? Oh, sorry. I couldn't see him. I looked three times. Blend in. Sorry.
Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. In response to the issues you've raised, I can confirm that Council's Economic Development and Advocacy Department are responsible for the upkeep of our online business register, and that's a register that's been in place for a number of years. It is actually largely a self-managed system in that businesses themselves are generally anticipated to update their details as time progresses. Clearly, though, it's difficult to maintain a register like that at 100% accuracy, so I'm happy to get the details of the relevant business details from you and upgrade the site tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Next question, Madam Mayor, is from Sarula Tuvana, who is the asker of the question in the gallery. No?
Is Sarula in the gallery? No.
Okay. Again, a written response will be provided to the question. Our next question is from Andrula Tuvana, who is in the gallery. Question reads, a 119-page petition and copies of 157 My Will letters to local members of Parliament, bracket Don Mardella and Marlene Carews, close bracket, was put into council for councillors and council officers today. Can you please detail, A, how you will respond to the group who lodged, and B, when you will respond to the group in writing? The petition, etc., and attachments was presented earlier in the council meeting. In accordance with council's local law, meeting procedure local law, petitions presented at a council meeting lay on the table for 1 month and are the subject of an officer's report at the following month's ordinary meeting of council. So that will be the process. The group on whose behalf the petition was submitted will be advised of that later this week and will be corresponded with following council decision at the next ordinary meeting of council. The next question is also from Ms. Tavana, and it reads, on what legislation or instrument are council relying on to state within their website that a petition will only be considered as one objection regardless of the number of signatories? Again, they refer this matter to Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development.
Thank you, Ms. Tavana, for your question. I appreciate that you're no doubt referring to planning permit issues when you're referring to objections. Under the Planning and Environment Act 1987, Council is required to consider all objections or submissions received in relation to an application. In terms of how Council administers that, we interpret, as you correctly point out, petitions as one submission or one objection, if you like. That issue has never been overruled, if you so like, at the Appeals Tribunal. Notwithstanding that, though, I should point out that regardless of whether the petition is considered as one submission or not, Council has full regard to the issues raised in the petition and also has regard to the number of signatories. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through Madam Mayor, I'll provide a written response that details an answer and the relevant section of the Act. I do know, but I will provide that in writing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Excuse me.
Next question is also from Mr. Chris Tuvana. Mr. Tuvana in the gallery.
Sorry.
Written response will be provided. Do you want a rule? It's clearly.
Sorry. Excuse me. Excuse me, Mr. No, I'm not answering your question. I'm actually answering that Miss O'Connor was in the gallery. Yes, she was. Okay, I will allow things to continue as is. Thank you very much. First warning.
A written response will be provided to Mr. Tuvana. Next question is from Mr. Alex Jinks. Mr. Jinks is in the gallery. His question reads, I am seeking an acceptable explanation as to why the traffic management devices construction plan for Licence Road Diggers Rest has been programmed for installation in the coming months, according to City of Melton correspondence. The LATM, which is Local Area Traffic Management Study, carried out by the City of Melton, claimed that speeds recorded in Diggers Rest were some of the highest recorded in the municipality, and funded for said devices having been available through development contribution funds for more than 18 months, along with a number of letters of concern to City of Melton senior staff, along with Mayor and councillors, that speeds of around 150 kilometres per hour have been witnessed by myself and other independent witnesses, yet the installation of the devices seems to lack priority by the City of Melton. Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Alex, for your question. As you rightfully point out, Council has undertaken and since adopted a local area traffic management plan for Diggers Rest, and that plan identifies improvements for the township in terms of traffic flows and traffic management, including issues of speed. You'll be aware that Council, over the last 6 to 9 months, has already undertaken works within the township, including speed humps in various streets. I'm aware that we have, since our correspondence to you, awarded the contract for the construction of speed humps in Licence Road. I'll be in a position in the next few days to provide you in writing, more specifically when those works will be carried out. I can confirm, however, they will be done before the end of June of this year, but I'll, in my letter, provide a more specific date. Thank you.
Second question from Mr. Jinks reads, the City of Melton has failed to respond to questions relating to unfinished signage of the speed cushion that were installed in Welcombe Road, along with questions relating to the reduction of the speed limit on the old Calder Highway in the vicinity of the Post Office Railway Crossing and Comida Road. When can I expect an answer to these inquiries? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Jinks. I will need to take your question on notice. In the written response I referred to in the earlier question, I'll also provide a response to the issues you've raised in your most recent correspondence. Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. The question reads, the latest Melbourne Airport Master Plan emphasises an importance to safeguard Melbourne Airport from future developments which may compromise its current 24-hour curfew-free operations. In doing so, the airport makes reference to the Melbourne Airport Environments Overlays, MEAO, and the Australian Noise Exposure Forecasts Contours, ANEF. In instances where councillors vote against officers' recommendations with respect to subdivisions within the MAEO and the ANEF contours, does council brief councillors to have proper regard to the MAEO and the ANEF and the relevant Australian standard? And could this place the city at risk of any possible future litigation for negligence, as seen with Port Stephen Shire Council and Randwick City Council? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. If I can perhaps answer the last part of your question first. Council does and is required to consider every planning permit application on its merits, and in doing so have regard to the provisions of the Melton Planning Scheme. Council is fully briefed on those issues before it makes a decision, and considers all the issues before making a decision. And as a consequence, in my view, Council does not face potential litigation in exercising its decision-making power under the Planning and Environment Act. If I can go back to your earlier question, you refer to the Melbourne Airport Master Plan, which was finalised in 2013. As a result of that Master Plan, or in fact the earlier Master Plan, there's provisions in the Melton Planning Scheme, which is effectively an overlay control affecting the noise contours that emanate from the airport. And they're not peculiar to Melton. They also apply in surrounding municipalities such as Hume, Whittlesea and Brimbank. And it is intended to provide a level of protection to the operation of the airport. Those contours do change from time to time as the airport master plan is updated, and that they will be updated again as a consequence of the 2013 master plan, and that update will be done by the state government. But as I said earlier, as council is, that's one consideration that council must have regard to, along with a raft of other issues when it determines on a planning permit application. I will provide a written response detailing more details to your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Next question, Madam Mayor, is from Sonia Blaine. Ms. Blaine's in the gallery. The question reads, Mount Cottrell Recreation Reserve fence works. One, the Mount Cottrell Recreation Reserve is used as a public space for the people of Melton to pursue their activities. Why then is an electric fence being proposed, as this will endanger any person on site? And part two, with the proposed fence works to the Mount Cottrell Recreation Reserve, is the purpose of the fence to stop the people of Melton from using the reserve, and if so, why? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Ms. Blaine, for your questions. As you rightfully point out, Council is currently undertaking works on the Mount Cottrell Recreation Reserve. That includes reinstatement of farm fencing around the perimeter of the site, removal of tyres and all other infrastructure associated with the former motorcycle track that is located on the site. The reserve itself has always had controlled access. In other words, it hasn't been a freely open, publicly available reserve. It's always had a number of clubs on site. In recent years, though, number of clubs has diminished to one, and that's the Model Aircraft Club, which operates at the eastern end of the site. Council's intention with the site is to, as I've said, reinstate to a more natural state, if you like, the former motorcycle track, which was quite intrusive on the land. There's a small section of native vegetation that will be fenced and protected. And as I've mentioned, the fencing around the perimeter of the site, with the exception of the Faulkner's Road frontage, will be reinstated with a farm-style fence that will have the capacity to have an electric wire on it in the same way that a normal farm fence does, purely designed to keep stock out of the property. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
And the next question, Madam Mayor, is from Tom Panzer. Okay, Mr. Panzer's in the gallery. And this question, Madam Mayor, runs across four typed pages. I don't propose to read all four pages. There is a section within it that says it's in relation to Beattie's Road from Leakes Road to Mount Cottrell Road and Mount Cottrell Road from Beattie's Road to Keilor Melton Road. The questions that are posed in the body of the submission are, one, Melton Council's current risk assessments for unsealed roads, the type of easements done to determine the safest outcome for the road user and residents affected by the unsealed road. So I assume that the submitter's requesting that we provide documentation around that to him. Yeah. Oh, assessments, not easements. Yeah, right, okay. Part two, current and past traffic counter assessments for Beattie's Road. And three, the type of material composition used to cover Beattie's Road. So those items will be provided. And the summary is that the submitter would like to summarise in point form the issues residents of Beattie's Road and Mount Cottrell Road have with the unsealed roads, being around health, dangerous driving conditions, environmental impact and cost. So I hope I've done justice to the intent, but it's primarily seeking to have Melton Council seal those two sections of road together. So, Mr. Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will comment.
Thank you, Mr. Panzer, for your question. There's obviously many issues that you've raised in your submission. If I could perhaps suggest at the start, I'd be happy to organise a meeting between yourself and someone from our engineering area to actually work through the details of the issues you've raised and the information you'd like. We're happy to provide the relevant information that might require a discussion to get to the bottom of that. Just at a high-level overview, you're aware that the urban growth boundary effectively connects Caroline Springs to the Melton Township, and that will mean in time all that area will be developed for urban purposes. That will obviously take some time, but it will occur. The sections of Birdies Road and Mount Cottrell Road that you refer to, whilst they're gravel at the moment, they are within the urban growth boundary and will be sealed by developers in time as development progresses to those points. In the meantime, Council continues to maintain those roads in a safe and usable manner, and I appreciate that many residents would like those sealed and would wish to debate that. So as I said at the outset, I'm happy to have a discussion with you and our engineers to perhaps talk in more detail about the information you require and perhaps a more open discussion about what the future might hold. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I believe Chris Tavana has entered the chamber, so can we have Chris's question, please?
Okay. First question from Mr. Tavana is, Faulkner's Road Recreation Reserve is public open space. Is this area going to be marked for no human footprint by Melton Council? Has Melton Council got plans to erect a security fence around this site? Can you explain why this is happening? And is it part of the government's millennium development goals? Mr. Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Tavano. I answered a very similar question just a moment ago, but I'll recap on some of the issues I've addressed. You'll be aware that Council's undertaking works on the recreation reserve, and that's largely the removal of infrastructure associated with the former motorcycle club which operated from the site, which included jumps, tyres, buildings and the like. Those works are currently underway. Part of the works also involved reinstating a farm-style fence around the outer perimeter of the property, where it abuts the adjoining farmland, so that won't be a security fence as such. It's a farm fence that has the capacity for a strand of electrical wire, if needed, as you would have on a typical farm, to keep stock out. The facility has generally not been open for wider community use. Rather, it's been used by a select number of clubs who have had access to the site. Most recently, that is now down to one club, which is the Model Aircraft Club, who will continue to operate from that site for the foreseeable future. Council has no other plans at this time in relation to the reserve. Thank you.
Has the public got access?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I think the question was, does the public have open access? The answer to that is no. Currently, the club that has access is the Model Aircraft Club, as I've said. Council has yet to determine what level of public access there might be. Currently, it's a work site. There's a significant amount of work to be done to rehabilitate the site, after which point Council will decide the options for the reserve.
Thank you, Luke.
The second question from Mr. Tavana is, traffic counters on Beattie's Road between Mount Cottrell Road and Leakes Road were removed on the 2nd of the 3rd, 2015. These counters, according to Tom, a council engineer, were meant to be down for 4 weeks. Why were they removed and when will they be repositioned? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Tavana. To some extent, I'll need to take that question on notice. As I'm aware that there were traffic counters down on the road, and as I understand, they were removed to enable maintenance of the road to take place. However, I will establish what's happened, when they will be replaced on the road, and I'll provide you a written response detailing that.
Sorry, he's answered the question. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'll call again Sarula Tuvana. Is Sarula Tuvana in the... You are. Okay. Your question reads, do council-made policies override or overrule statute law, bracket, Local Government Act 1989? The situation is that council policy is subservient to or is overridden by state law to the extent that it is inconsistent with such state law. So the state law would take precedence over any contradictory council policy. Thank you, Madam Mayor. That completes public questions.
Thank you. We will now commence staff reports. 11.1.
Madam Mayor, can I block items 11.1, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 11.9, 11.10 and 11.16 and accept officers' recommendation as written?
We have the motion put before us now has been to block items 11.1, 11.3, 11.4. I just want to double check that I've got them right. 11.5, 11.9, 11.10 and 11.16. It's been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. As stated, the motion before us now has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Is the motion opposed? Can I see a show of hands? In favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. 11.2, Mr Heaney, General Manager, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, I'll be very quick with this one. This report represents the Disability Advisory Committee meeting minutes that was held on 5th of February 2015. The Disability Advisory Committee, commonly known as the DAC, has been established to provide advice to Council on issues and barriers that affect people with a disability, whether living, working and recreating or studying in our city. Membership of the committee is drawn from people with a disability, their carers of people with a disability, community service providers who have a significant role in delivering services and responding to the local disability priorities within the city. Again, attached to this document is the minutes, and I'll reflect on some of that if I can, councillors. I note in the background on page 11 there's been some discussion in the minutes, and some of those related to streetscape design, progress of our men's shed in Taylor's Hill, and other points of interest. But really, I think one that I'd really like to highlight without going through the whole minutes is on page 14 of the minutes itself, where the committee had some discussion about the lack of a pedestrian crossing at High Street and Norton Drive in Melton. The intersection of Vic Roads, police and liaison meeting on the 4th of February 2015, which that discussion occurred, and correspondence formally outlining from the DAC the feedback that will be provided to Vic Roads, in addition to the committee recommending that Council also write to the Minister for Roads and Safety on the issue. But I'll read the recommendation put forwarded from that committee at the time, and the recommendation reads, as per the minutes, that Council write to the Minister for Roads and Road Safety and the Regional Manager of Vic Roads, drawing their attention to the requirement for signalisation for both pedestrian and vehicle traffic at the intersection of High Street and, that should read Norton Drive, not Morton, Melton, as this intersection currently represents a significant risk to both pedestrians and traffic and motorists. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Now, could I please ask everybody to remain silent in the gallery? Thank you. Okay, having heard the report on 11.2, is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation but also speak on behalf or speak on the motion should the motion be seconded.
Not a problem. Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that motion, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Turner, thank you. Councillor Majlik, would you like to...
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just wanted to highlight two things. Under 5.2, the Taylor's Hill Men's Shed update, that date has actually changed from the 26th of March to the 22nd of April, I'm led to believe. And I just wanted to highlight...
Sorry, Councillor Majlik, I won't ask the gallery again. I know people are hard of hearing, but could we please remain quiet?
I'll make sure I speak louder, Madam Mayor, sorry. So, yeah, just the note of the change of date for the Taylor's Hill Men's Shed opening. Mm-hmm. Also on page 15, right down the bottom, Mr. Tory was giving us an update on the expression of interest process to identify a preferred applicant to deliver services from the property formerly known as the Melbach Respite Facility. And the expression of interest process, and we had identified that Autism Plus as the preferred applicant to take over the facility. May I, at this stage, Madam Mayor, just want to highlight, it would be remiss of this council if we did not absolutely thank our General Manager for Community Services, Mr. Maury Heaney, for doing an exceptional job working with the Department of Health and Human Services to ensure a new disability service provider commences operation in line with the upcoming, with this upcoming Easter holiday period. I'm sure this news, Madam Mayor, will be a tremendous relief to all the families that had been affected by the Melbach service closure earlier this year. It's certainly a most welcome outcome for this council and also our community. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for allowing me to highlight that.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. We have a mover being Councillor Majlik. The motion has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. 11.6. Amendment C119 to the Melton Planning Scheme 193 to 295 Brooklyn Road, Brookfield. Mr. Shannon to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to Amendment C119 to the Melton Planning Scheme. Council might recall considering a report on this issue at its October 2014 meeting. In essence, Madam Mayor, the amendment seeks to rezone land within the Botanica Springs estate, and if I can refer councillors to...
Sorry, Mr. Shannon, please, folks, no talking in the gallery. We're trying very hard to listen to the item and the responses. If I have to ask you again, I'll ask you to please step outside. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I can refer councillors to the locality plan at Appendix 1, you can see the location of the Botanica Springs estate, which is in essence bound by Brooklyn Road and Clark Road in Brookfield. And if council will then refer to Appendix 2, you'll see in more detail the area marked C1Z, which is proposed to be basically a neighbourhood shopping centre.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the long-term planning for this part of the Melton Township indicates a school site, a shopping precinct, as well as civic facilities, including an oval and a kindergarten, which has recently been opened in the vicinity of this site, so it will be a significant community hub. The planning scheme amendment has been exhibited over December and January of last year and this year, respectively. 8 submissions were received, which are shown or summarised on pages 75 through to 78.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Mayor, if I could just refer councillors to 2 of the specific submissions which are the ones of interest in this case. The first one shown on page 77 is from the Queensland Investment Corporation, who are the owners of the Woodgrove Shopping Centre. Whilst they haven't specifically objected technically, in essence they have insofar as they've raised concerns about the potential oversupply of land for shopping precincts, if you like. Obviously, they have an interest in ensuring the ongoing operation of the Woodgrove Centre. The second submission is on page 78 from Holding Redlick on behalf of a landowner in Brooklyn Road, which is to the west of the site. The issue or the request they have put forward is that the proponent should seal the full length of Brooklyn Road, and that, from a planning point of view, is not reasonable. The developer of the subject site will fully construct and seal the road across the frontage of the site, but it's unreasonable to ask them to seal the road beyond there. So, Madam Mayor, the next step in the process, given those 2 submissions, is Council can either abandon the amendment. That's certainly not recommended. It's mm-hmm. recommended that Council ask the Minister to appoint an independent panel to consider the submissions.
Mm-hmm.
The panel will then report back to Council, which will enable further consideration of this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor, sorry, and I haven't done this to date and I've just picked myself up, does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder?
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion's been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. Is the motion opposed? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 11.8, the 2014 Household Customer Satisfaction Survey Results. Mr Heaney, to proceed.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, just a point of order. 11.7 is to be heard.
Did I miss that?
I do apologise.
I was super keen to finish. Sorry. 11.7, Amendment C138 to the Mountain Planning Scheme, the Mount Cottrell Water Tanks. Mr Shannon, to report. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, this report relates to a planning scheme amendment that's been requested by Western Water, and in essence it's intended to rezone land off Mount Cottrell Road, and if Council refer to the plan at Appendix 1, you'll see the location of the property adjacent to the Mount Cottrell volcanic cone, or that forms part of the volcanic cone. Western Water, as part of their planning for the future, servicing the future growth of the Melton municipality, have planned to construct 3 high-level water tanks at this location. Mm-hmm. They'll provide Class A recycled water, and they're relatively significant tanks at 9.67 megalitres each that are proposed to be cut into the lower reaches of Mount Cottrell. Madam Mayor, Council considered a report on this issue in February of last year. This report is presented to Council because since that time, the state government, relevant state government agency, have sought changes to the amendment prior to it being publicly exhibited. So the changes are relatively minor, however, it was felt warranted to bring it back to Council for consideration. In essence, Madam Mayor, the proposed amendment summarised at the bottom of page 85. It will involve a public acquisition overlay over 5.1 hectares of the property, implementation of a development plan overlay to control the design elements of the tanks, and then inserting specific provisions into the planning scheme to accommodate the proposed development. Madam Mayor, this is the first step in the planning scheme amendment process. If Council endorses this approach, an amendment will be exhibited, submissions will be made, there will likely be a panel hearing, and then report will be made back to Council. So this is step one in what will be a fairly lengthy process. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification on this item?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I do. On dot point number 2, when it talks about exhibiting the amendment in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987, is this the chance for community members to have the opportunity to put in their comments about this amendment?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the answer to that is yes. The amendment would typically be advertised for a minimum of 28 days. All residents, including the affected owner, have the opportunity to make a submission, and then that will be reported back to Council with the details of those submissions, and then Council will decide at that point to either change the amendment to accommodate those submissions, abandon the amendment, or refer the matter to an independent panel. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is step one, but there will be extensive community consultation from here. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Shannon. Has any other councillor require any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move that recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion's got a mover in Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Briari. Okay, we have the motion before us at the present is being moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does anyone oppose to the motion? The motion carried. All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now, I was super keen to get here before. Thank you, Councillor Majlik, for picking me up on that. 11.8, the 2014 Household Customer Satisfaction Survey Results. Mr. Heaney to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is in relation to a household survey which has just been completed by officers, reinforcing Council's commitment to community engagement and evidence-informed planning, service delivery and decision-making. The Council Action Plan, which is the subject of our Council agenda tonight, outlined a commitment to undertake a community satisfaction survey, but also a commitment to have a minimum of 500 household survey. The survey aimed to identify and understand the community experiences, opinions, aspirations and satisfaction levels with current topics, Council's performance, local services and, of course, the amenity. A consultancy firm which is called Metropolis, it's pronounced actually, research, was engaged to design and implement and collate the survey to a total of not 500 but 800 households. Were surveyed through December 2014 and right continuing on into January 2015. It's fair to say, councillors, this was in true engagement as far as a process with the survey. It was face-to-face with the community members, not by phone or electronic, and was door-to-door. The results are presented in the document attached, but I will touch on a couple of summaries, if I may. On page 227, the results highlighted a number of positives for Council and the broader community, and basically give us a rating out of 10. For example, an overall satisfaction rating from those community members with Council's performance was 6.84, categorised as good. This is above the Western Region average of 6.47 and Metro Melbourne of 6.53. So basically the community is saying they're happy with Council's performance overall. Council meeting its responsibilities towards the environment was rated 7.4, which is very good, and that's a great outcome for this Council. Average satisfaction with governance and leadership was rated 6.83, categorised as good. This was higher than the Western Region, again, of our partners at 6.74 and Metro Melbourne at 6.58. So without going through it all, councils, on page 228, there's a number of summaries that detail the results and also probably room for improvement at the bottom of page 228. I encourage the community to have a look at our website at the overall document that goes right through the whole municipality and is broken up into catchments, if you like. I think it's give a good wide spread of how our community are feeling at a higher level, and it was great to do it at face-to-face on a door knock situation rather than electronically to engage in a different way. Like I said, attached is the community satisfaction survey overview that's appended to the document, and that commences at page 231. It gives a lot of information, a lot of graphs. It's fair to say, having a briefing with our consultants a couple of weeks ago and our councillors, that we rated really well for the first time that we've developed this satisfaction survey, the household survey. But of course, to monitor where we are at the moment, we probably need to do this annually as a bit of a health check for the organisation and the municipality to see if we're doing things well, or most importantly, where the community perceives we're not doing things that well, for Council to consider that at budget time or deliberations at any point in time. So I present to you the report, councillors, as per the agenda item, and that is really just to note the 2014 Household Customer Satisfaction Survey, and that is appended on Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification on this item? Councillor Magic.
Madam Mayor, could I just have clarification in regards to whether this is a different survey compared to the state government survey that comes out roughly about middle of every year? I think it's every year or every second? Every year.
Yep. Madam Mayor, Councillor Magic, it is a different survey. This is a health check for us where the council said during the council plan process they wanted to engage further with our community. So it's a separate survey than the local government one that comes out and gives us the results on a number of factors. And there's a number of questions that's in this survey that indicates the levels of response from us, but yet completely different
than what we get from the local government survey. And a lot, and this one is face to face.
Actually, Mr. Heaney, could I ask a question? And
okay, Madam Mayor.
You've just answered part of it. The other survey is over the phone and this one's face to face.
Correct.
If we do it, this is the first time we've conducted a survey like this, and you think it's a good health check to be done annually, can you tell us how much the other one costs from the that every as a and a, roughly the value of this one?
I can't recall what this one was around about the $40,000, okay, give or take. I can't recall the exact price of the local government one, the contribution. 15, yeah.
15.
Look, the difference with the local government one, it's a phone survey randomly of around about 300 or so households. The difference is also that that random survey is done during the day, so you don't get a true capture of that community household. The good thing with this one was that when it was face-to-face, you might have had mum, dad, son, daughter or grandparents in the home, so it gave a good widespread. So two different surveys, but this was more focused on our service delivery, our environment, our customer service, a bit of a health check of how we're going.
Oh, I think that the results have been fantastic, but I think, like anything, it's a snapshot in time, and if there's a national disaster happening, the results might be completely different. But for this, I congratulate each and every one of the departments in council, and I think it's much better getting the cross spread that we have face to face. So well done. Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm pleased to move this motion. So good to get some good news for the change.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Or Councillor Turner, I should say. I apologise. Do we have a seconder for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to second the motion and also echo Councillor Turner's words. I also thank the residents who were involved in participating in this survey. It's the results and also their feedback is invaluable to us as council. There's certainly some positives in this, the results, but there's also some areas that we need to look at. So I thank the department and also the residents for being involved.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to 11.11, the Safe City Plan 2015-2017. Mr. Heaney to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Obviously, the report represents our Safer City Plan for the term of 15-17. The Safer City Plan 15-17 presents a strategic framework to promote community safety within our municipality. Obviously, the priority closely aligns with our council plan to 2013-17 and the public health and wellbeing plan of the same term. It's important it's articulating a consistent response to achieving council's vision for health, wellbeing and safety over the next 3 years and beyond. It acknowledges and supports the existing strategic work within the community safety portfolio, if you like, such as preventing violence against women, the road safety work and our graffiti management programs. Being safe and feeling well, being safe and feeling safe are the significant indicators of health and well-being of the community. A safe community is a place that is attractive to live, work and recreate, visit and basically do business. It has a strong sense of identity, belonging and community pride and promotes the health and well-being of its residents. Through the development of this safety plan, it goes back to 2006, where we council endorsed its first safety plan many years ago, which was addressing at that point in time the efforts in addressing community safety within the Shire of Melton, and the last plan of 2010 and 14. So I've been working in this space strategically for some time now. Throughout the implementation of the most recent plan, Council has strengthened its role in capacity as a leader in the area through initiatives including such things as the convening the Community Safety Committee, which is a committee of council, with Victorian Police and Interagency Forum to respond to the emergency crime and safety issues within the community, working to address key community safety concerns, including graffiti, antisocial behaviour, family violence and the perception of safety, most importantly. Mm. And, of course, one of the big ones was participating in the Western Region's Crime Prevention Reference Group to ensure the alignment with regional crime prevention and health and wellbeing priorities, and such as Council's programs as our youth programs of 6801, focusing on safe transport, which occurs on Friday and Saturday nights. The Plan 15 and 17 closely aligns, as I said, with our Municipal Public Health Plan and our Council Plan. The vision, I think, is strong. It's noted on page 312. The City of Melton will be a safe, healthy and equitable municipality with a positive community spirit and strong sense of identity. The vision is supported by three priorities, which is vibrant places and spaces, an informed, connected and resilient community, and a responsive council and local service system. So, councillors, I won't go on much more about the plan. Appended to the document on page 315 is the background paper in regards to the Safer City Plan for the term of 15 and 17, and also appended to the report is the Safer City Plan itself, which is on page 339. So I put forward you the recommendations that are noted on the agenda, which is to note the background Safer City Plan as appended in one, and adopt the Safer City Plan for the term of 15-17 as represented in Appendix 2. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council require further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor. It is most important that our community not only feel safe but are safe in our municipality, and I commend this council for this for this document.
Thank you, Councillor Madgley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Madgley. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion being moved by Councillor Madgley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does anyone oppose the motion? Sorry, Councillor Carley, 1111. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. We'll now turn to 1112, Community Benefit Funding for Club Caroline Springs. Mr Heaney to report.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Obviously, the report's in regards to an acceptance of an additional $50,000 for the Community Benefit Program that relates to the club venue at Caroline Springs. Basically, the report aims to inform Council in its decision relating to the current availability of additional community benefit funding from the club, as per Melton City Council's responsible gaming policy that was endorsed some time ago. And noted with that on page 357, when existing community grants, contributions and agreements or new agreements are proposed, a report will be presented to Council for its consideration and determination, which is the objective of this report. Back to some history, councillors, if I can. The club, which is down in Caroline Springs on the Western Highway, originally had around about 60 gaming machines some 9 years ago, where council received a contribution of $93,000 funding through the Community Benefit Program to administer the money and the grants programs related to that. The club also applied for an additional 6 gaming machines, which they were accepted, and there's a $50,000 contribution that Council's considering this evening that goes along with that, the additional 6 gaming machines. As I said back some time ago, and many years ago, in 2006, Council resolved at that time to enter into an agreement with the club to administer the $93,000. Via the Community Benefit Program for a period of 10 years, which is coming up, I think, in the next 18 months. It's further proposed that the timeframe of Council's agreement for the additional $50,000 be aligned with the expiry of that agreement. at the time. So the understanding is that the 93,000 will expire in 18 months. We're suggesting at the same time that we reconsider the 93 plus the 50 if council endorses the recommendation noted in tonight, so that we're reviewing all the agreements at one time and council will make a determination if they still want to be in that space or not. As I said, the gaming machines have been in place for about 9 years in relation to the club, and there's many more within the municipality. This is an additional six, which takes the club to 66. The recommendation is for council to agree and accept the additional $50,000 via the community benefit program, and that's electronic gaming machines revenue. Funds from the club, Caroline Springs, to be administered in conjunction with the community benefit funds received by council from the club under the original agreement and the report back in August 2006. But at the same time, most importantly, the officers are suggesting at the expiration date of the agreement referred in point one, undertake a full and detailed review of the administration and distribution of the community benefit funds received from the club in Caroline Springs. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. In regards to the additional six EGMs, did that actually go through council application, and what was the council's response in regards to those six additional?
Through you, Madam Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Major, yes, the report came to council and council deemed not to approve and support those additional six machines.
Further clarification, Madam Mayor. So just to clarify, which body had allowed these extra six gaming machines into our municipality?
The Victorian Commission for Gaming and Liquor Regulation determined and approved the additional machines.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Magic. Any further clarification required? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Does any councillor second this motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Now, please forgive me if I get this wrong, but the sale of the modular Wiwigiwi Kindergarten and or the land in Caroline Springs, Mr. Heaney to report.
Perfect pronunciation, Madam Mayor. It does relate to a modular relocatable kindergarten that's situated in Caroline Springs. Actually at number 2 Darabin Place in Caroline Springs, which is just on the corner of the boulevard. The issue is, and I'll just give you a bit of history in this, some time ago when the growth was just exceeding council's expectations and I think everyone else, council determined at that point in time to bring in a very quick relocatable building to the site situated at Caroline Springs. Making it a bit more confusing, at the time, council leased a site for the purpose of the facility and constructed the facility and licensed it in accordance with all regulations, and at the same time proceeded then, because leases were going up, to purchase two sites. If I can just point you to page 365, which will explain it a bit easier, I think, for the purpose of the gallery as well. The modular relocatable building is the one that is highlighted around the perimeter in red. The facility next door is currently Caroline Chisholm and was not the case many years ago. Council made a determination at the time to secure this site for a long-term tenure to purchase the two sites, which was the house on the corner that has the three cars at front of it, and the second site, of which now is the relocatable. Council kept that for a while and then put the house, if I can make this very clear as I can, the house on the corner up for sale, so the first lot. At least that way we had the financial return back to council, but we also secured long tenure of that relocatable building. If I can just point you to page 367 of the building, as old as it is, council spends quite a sum of money on this. It was always determined at the point of time that when a new facility was built in the Burnside area, it would pick the catchment up of the Caroline Springs, Burnside and other areas, and this facility would be disposed of, obviously via a sale. So the report tonight talks about that, but also, most importantly, talks about our enrolment process as well. And the recommendation this evening is twofold, that obviously, from the officer's point of view, we're recommending to council that they delegate authority to the chief executive to initiate a sale process for the land situated at 2 Darrinbin Place, which is where the relocatable is sited. And I say inclusive of the buildings because it is a relocatable. Subject to the transfer of the property not occurring prior to the conclusion of the 2015 years. So what we're saying is, look at selling the asset or the land and the asset, but don't do it till the end of the 2015 kindergarten year. And the most important thing I think for council to note on this is to be clear on recommendation two, is that at the same time we do not proceed with the enrolment process for four-year-old kindergarten at the Wiragiri Kindergarten for the 2016 year. And why I say that is why it is important this evening as council will be determining and going out for enrolments for four-year-old kindergarten at the end of March this year. So we have all processes in place to activate those kindergarten uses for 2016. Hopefully I've made it as clear as possible. It's had quite a wide journey, these two sites and the modular, but it served its purpose over that time, which has delivered kindergarten to over 770 four-year-old children, and most likely around about 300 or 400 of three-year-old children. So it serves its purpose. From an officer's point of view, we're recommending that we sell it and move on. I think the important thing for the councillors to note too is that the new facility is now, construction has been awarded to a builder for a new facility in the Burnside area and is due for completion prior to the end of this financial year for activation for 2016 kindergarten year. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Okay, the recommendations before us. Does any council seek further clarification? Councillor Matchett.
Madam Mayor, on page 362, on the consultation public submissions, it talks about council officers will have conversations with families.
Yeah.
What conversations will actually occur with current and potential future families in regards to them wanting to use the centre, and also about closing this centre and possibly transferring their interests in attending kindergarten at the new Burnside Heights centre?
It's twofold. If council determine on this report and the recommendation as printed tonight, one is we will cease to take enrolments for the old facility, but at the same time we'll be adding on the Burnside facility to take enrolments for the new one. Our conversations will be with families that may show interest to use that facility, but we'll make it very clear in all of our documentation that it isn't part of the enrolment process. If we do have discussions with families, my guess is maybe 4 to 6, because it's quite common sometimes that if a sibling goes there, that they're consistent that they want the next one to go. But at the same time, we know through this facility, it's in most cases the second choice of families, not the first choice. And there is another kindergarten some 300 metres up the road at Brookside as well, which influences council's officer's decision anyway. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any other councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
And you get a star award, Councillor Majlik, for moving all these. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Which councillor would like to second it, if there is one?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. See, the competition's on now. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, 11.14, Diggers Rest War Memorial Proposal. Mr Heaney to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, some background on this. Councillors, officers received a request from the Diggers Rest Lions Club and the Diggers Rest Primary School to consider the use of council land at the Diggers Rest Recreational Reserve for the establishment of a Diggers Rest War Memorial. The land is identified as potential site for the memorial, fronts Plumpton Road, and is adjacent to the northern boundary of the CFA on that next door to our side. The proposed memorial is in collaboration between the Lions Club of Diggers Rest, the Diggers Rest Primary School, and commemorates Diggers Rest residents who died in the wars that Australia had fought in, Australians had fought in. Part of the project is to establish a teaching garden at the memorial so that the Anzac tradition can be incorporated into the curriculum for the students of the Diggers Rest Primary School in a more significant way. The proposed site is desirable from the purpose, as it's in walking distance to the school. And appended to the document on page 371, councillors, is a proposed site, which I think is very clear, that we're suggesting, and advice from council officers that the estimate of the project is approximately $20,000 and is funded from a variety of initiatives, as noted on page 369. The Lions Club has identified 19th of July, which is a big commitment, 2015, for the target date for the official opening, if this report is endorsed, of the memorial. The anniversary of the Battle of Fromelles, I think it is, as World War I battle, is which many Australian soldiers have lost their lives in. So we think the initiative, from an officer's point of view anyway, councillors, has some merit. My understanding is, I think, it was always proposed that this would possibly go into the Diggers Rest school site, but my understanding from the Education Department at the time, or DEECD at the time, is they were not did not approve the possible relocation of this memorial on a school site, which is consistent of what they do to all sites. So obviously that's why it's come to council. Probably a similar initiative as council endorsed a few years ago in relation to the Caroline Springs one. So I'll put forward you the recommendation on page 369, councillors, for your deliberation.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Now I want to see the race on to move and second this one. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, it's my pleasure to move the recommendation that council endorse the location of the Diggers Rest War Memorial to the site proposed at the Diggers Rest Recreational Reserve as referred to in Appendix 1.
Thank you. May I just ask if any other councillors sought clarification before that? No? We have a motion before us moved by Councillor Carley. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second the officer's recommendation and also take this opportunity to congratulate the people involved for this great project.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say a few words, if I may.
Okay. Would you like to address the chat gallery now?
Yes, thank you. I just also want to say well done to the Diggers Rest Lions Club. They really do some excellent work for the community of Diggers Rest, and this is just another perfect example of that. And also well done to the Diggers Rest Primary School.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Could I please take this opportunity to thank Lauren Rob McKay for the invitation extended to Council for next week's or next fortnight's dinner meeting, but it clashes with the budget briefing, so apologies from us, and I'm hoping that the 19th of July will provide no such clash. Thank you. And also, whilst I'm here, I might as well acknowledge our wonderful President, Peter Burquist, from down in Caroline Springs, that I can never come to because it clashes with the Melton one.
Thank you.
Okay, 11:15. The National Respite for Carers Program, NRCP, funding 2014-2015. Mr. Heaney to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be very quick with this one. This is really a good news story where Council has negotiated some funding for the what's known as the NRCP program from the federal government and secured ongoing funding to the end of the financial year. This was a result in us reviewing our program delivery in over at Home and Community Care in Mackenzie Street and looking at initiatives to support community members, which was identified during the MALBAC discussions with families. And we've taken that on board, and some of those families are already accessing those programs, Madam Mayor. Some of those are noted on page 374, where there'll be centre-based respite and structured group programs, activities in council's community facilities, and they'll target 16 carers, which will provide 4,700 hours of care. In-home day respite provides flexible respite options for those six carers. And there's hours that contributed to all this funding, so that's why we have the hours at the end of the programs, because we have to report on those hours delivered to the federal government. I think the good news with this one is the government listened to us and allowed us to structure our programs around the funding and retain the federal government money that the council's had for some years, where at a point of time there we're at, probably at a risk of losing it. So really it's just putting forward to the council the officer's recommendations really to endorse the negotiated 14-15 NRCP agreement as presented in the report.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor seek clarification on this item?
Yes, Madam Mayor. In relation to the risk of the NRCP not continuing after June 2015, what is in place for our elderly clients or residents who are requiring this respite?
It's a good question, Councillor Majorlik. We're still in some of the unknown world post-2015 with our HAC services delivery and the NDIS responsibilities that will be coming out. Impending, we're using the word, but we're attending all the conferences and forums that we can as officers, senior officers that is, and our officers that deliver the service to gain as much information as we can. I can also inform the council that I attended an MAV update last week, I think it was in the city, and are intending to visit a federal government awareness session this Friday morning on where we're at to date. But it is an impending world at the moment as far as HAC, aged care, and there's many reforms happening at the federal government level.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any other council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
You're my favourite this evening, Councillor Majorlik. We have the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majorlik. Who would like to second?
I'd like to second it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Dunn, thank you very much. The motion before the chamber is moved by Councillor Majorlik, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. For his last report this evening, 11:17, can I pass to the birthday boy tomorrow? He turns, it's a very special birthday, Mr. Heaney, four-year-old kindergarten enrolment policy 2015-2016.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'll have a good 40th birthday at that.
That's
I'll move on, if I can, for the sake of the gallery. Very quick one in relation to this, and I do acknowledge councillors my apologies somewhat because normally this policy would go through the policy review panel, but it is important that we get this report up and a policy endorsed in the way of council's position this evening. As I noted earlier in one of our reports, an overview that we are programmed to go out for an enrolment process at the end of March. this current month. So if this is endorsed this evening, that'll allow us to firm up on our policy. The main reason why this policy is coming up this evening is we do operate central enrolment for kindergarten, and that is for four-year-old kindergarten. And it's commonly known as the central enrolment process. But we are guided somewhat by the state government and the MAV's education and training, and we do take on board some of the issues that we have to that come from the state. And I think the main impact that's had on this policy is that we need to include in our new policy the allocation priorities, which is noted on page 380. And some of those allocation priorities is in line with the Victorian Kindergarten Guide 2014, which we obviously have to monitor. And that priority access, if those community members, young children are vulnerable or children at risk, have a disability or developmental delay, and are of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander descent. So we've restructured our policy to take in that consideration in our document, and that's noted on page 381 as well. So it's important that now we monitor that and we look at our priority one access when we do that. Obviously our main access for our community members overall, that is number one. It's fair to point out too, councillors, if I may, which has been consistent with the past policies, is myself, as the General Manager of Community Services, have some delegation about accessing non-residents. So four-year-old children that maybe are not living in the municipality but may be moving into the municipality, and we take on board that, and I have that delegation at the moment, which I think is important to spell out again to the council. And I have actioned that delegation on some occasions where we have had families come to us with kiddies with a disability that may not be able to get a place in other areas, and I've taken that on board. But where we have places, we've made an offer. But those families outside the municipality don't have a chance to show interest until the end of our enrolment process in January next year. So our residents are our number one priority, along with now the allocation priorities. Then, if we have spaces, we look at options for, if they come to us, and there aren't many, but we do get them, that are looking to access our kindergartens from bordering municipalities. So really it's put forward to you this evening the policy that's attached in Appendix 1 for your consideration and hopefully endorsement.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council seek further clarification? I do, Mr. Heaney, if that's okay. I just wanted to ask one quick question. In regards to, I'd love to talk about 15 hours and the allocation of funding for it, but I know I'm going off topic and I could be here for about 2 hours discussing that. When it comes to grandparents looking after their children and the grandparents live in the municipality, or there's a working mum that works within the municipality and would like to keep her child enrolled close but doesn't live in the municipality, does that fall under your discretion as well?
Yes, it does, Madam Mayor.
Do they go to the end of the list?
Yes, normally they do, Madam Mayor. If they live outside the municipality, the first priority are our residents, because obviously our pressures of four-year-old kinder, as you're well aware, although now we're probably a lot better off with the additional new facilities that's coming on, or has originally just recently come on board, and the new ones that's being built. But the priority is, at the moment, the way the policy stands is we take a first request from families and they have a second request. So those families, and no doubt the day after we go out in March, they're queued up at the front counter here and online, which is good now, to try and achieve their preferred kindergarten, but that isn't the case all the time, so they have a second choice, and a lot of occasions I receive their second choice. But I do take on board of what you're saying, and I have some delegation there.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney, and happy birthday as well. For someone who likes history, Mr. Heaney didn't elaborate on when it wasn't central enrolment policy for council,
mums and dads used to line up like footy tickets for the grand final in front of each kindergarten, and it used to be an absolute disaster. So I think this has come a long way, and the team need to be commended on it. So having said that, does any council seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Sorry. I'll get on one more. Reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. I'll commence with Councillor Dunn. These are the committees you're appointed to, Councillor Dunn.
I should know by now. Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 4th of February, I attended the Melton MFMPC, which is Metropolitan Fire Management Planning Committee. On the 5th, I attended the Policy Panel Review. On the 13th, I attended the Heritage Advisory Committee. On the 26th of February, I had a fairly busy February, the Road to Zero Steering Committee, and on the 2nd of the 3rd, I attended the Community Safety Committee, which is the first time I've actually attended that one, so it was quite good. But if you need any further clarification on any of those, I'm more than willing to talk about them, if I can.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Cuglia.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the monthly responsive grant round. As a panel, we assessed applications for a grant. I had a Reconciliation Advisory Committee meeting last week, but that was postponed for next week.
Thank you, Councillor Fuhari. Councillor Majlik.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually attended 8 committee meetings this month. The policy review panel minutes were actually attached to tonight's agenda. However, I just wanted to point out the healthy food and drink policy and commend our council for taking a proactive approach to eating and drinking healthier. The methodology, Madam Mayor, as you are well aware, is a simple traffic light system of green, amber and red, with red being the restricted or limited foods. This system will guide the provision of healthy food and drink at council, workplaces, facilities, programs and events to enhance the health and well-being of employees, volunteers, contractors, residents and visitors. It certainly has provided for many a discussion within council as well as councillors and yourself, Madam Mayor, trying to squeeze in that extra Tim Tam, which is red, and you can actually have that occasionally. It's a great way forward for us as leaders, Madam Mayor, to be leaders in our community in all facets of our lives. At the Disability Advisory, the minutes of the meeting are attached to tonight's agenda. However, I just wanted to highlight that Council had trialled for the first time ever at its Somersault Festival at Caroline Springs most recently an all-accessible mobile restroom which provided accessible toilets, a height-adjustable adult-sized changing bench, a ceiling hoist, extra space to accommodate carers and screens for extra privacy. I just commend this council. It's just another way that this council looks at ways to increase accessibility for all our residents to attend community events such as the Somersault Festival. Myself and Councillor Dunn actually attended a preliminary as well as the first of 3 LATM meetings, which is made up of council officers as well as representatives of the community, police and the principal of the Corowhite Creek Primary School. A LATM, for those of you who don't know, is a local area traffic management study, and in this case, it's in the Burnside Heights area. It's been very successful, I'm made to believe, in specifically in the Diggers Rest area, and the LATM investigates traffic conditions in local streets and areas, involves the community in identifying issues and developing solutions, and identifies locations to refer to police for enforcement such as speeding and hoon driving. Thank you to all the members of the community as well as other representatives for their time in attending and providing valuable feedback. I attended a very short briefing Arts Committee meeting with myself and Councillor Turner with the Arts Officer, Ruby, to offer our feedback on two committee members. The report is attached tonight in tonight's in-camera minutes of the meeting. At the Western Base, myself and the Mayor attended, we discussed the timeline and remuneration package for the new CEO, which is yet to be decided. We also looked at the licence agreements for some of the potential tenants, as well as discussed the membership of the Western Base and what that should or could look like to the committee members. The new date for the opening of the Western Base is set to be the 8th of May this year, which is very exciting indeed. At the Audit Committee, the minutes of the meeting are attached to tonight's agenda. However, I did want to highlight and congratulate Mr. Alan Hall for his reappointment of the Audit Committee Chair for the 2015 calendar year. Alan has certainly demonstrated an exceptional job in chairing the Audit Committee, and I congratulate him for being re-elected for the next 12 months. At the MAB Strategic Planning meeting, I attended the meeting, as did Council Officer Michael Tudball, which was great to see. Discussion was around the Victorian Ombudsman report about council complaint handling. There was also much discussion regarding the capping of rates, Madam Mayor, and how council, together with the MAV, can best represent their views and work with the state government to achieve its objectives. Other issues brought up were the 15-hour kindergarten funding as well as the hack services. There is also a motion without notice on tonight's agenda that I'll be putting forward that will assist MAV to advocate for some of the issues around rate capping. At the MAV Professional Development Committee, we discussed the outcomes of the Councillor Training Survey as well as the Councillor Development Weekend, which will be held at Torquay this year on the 24th to the 26th of July. As you all know, councillors, I am a big advocate and encourage all councillors to attend the Professional Development Weekend. It's an extremely important facet of our councillor duties. Also, discussion around BRACE training, delivering the diploma in local government certificate. They will be delivering that certificate until the end of 2015, and then it will be actually taken up by another provider, which is yet to be determined. And the fellowship is also, councillor fellowship is also available, which is a grant of up to, I think, $11,000 for a councillor to study overseas on a study grant tour. And details are on the MAV website. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Magillick. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. February's been a busy month. On the 18th of February, I attended the Melton Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee. It's good that I can get my word and my tongue around that. It was an exercise in to test the control room and how it would work in the event of a grass fire throughout the municipality, and it was a very successful day, half day it was. On the 23rd of February, I attended the Strategic Health Forum in Bacchus Marsh, and there was some really good news come out of that in that day. We discussed a lot about the headspace advocacy for Melton and Bacchus Marsh, and the chance of having it within our own city. It's not looking too hopeful yet, but it's still sitting in the wings. There was word on the funding that's been received for four new maternity beds in the Marsh, which will be, I think it's August the 4th is the funding date for that, or when they're going to be implemented. And also January 2016, general sterilising unit worth $3 million has been funded for the Bacchus Marsh Hospital, and that has a lot of ramifications as far as new services that can be provided there once the funding unit's in place. On the 23rd of February, also I attended the Leisure Advisory Committee. We discussed the Draft Sporting Club's Alcohol Accord, the Club User's Guide, which is on the website, contract, we've discussed that the contract has been awarded for Bridge Road Track and Pavilion. Expression of interest is sought for Arnold's Creek Ovals and two pavilion. Two cricket clubs and two football clubs have shown interest. Ainsbury and St Anthony's for the cricket, and Melton Central Juniors and Real District League for the footy. Along with Councillor Mayor, like I attended the Arts Advisory Committee when we were looking at the new members for the committee. The call out committee on the 25th of February was a busy night. We were looking at the presentation on a new programme. 9 projects have been set up for different cultural groups. It'll be paired, so 2 different cultural groups will pair up and they will work on a project together. There's 9 new projects being put together, and that's just going to be just basically up and running now, and they're just starting with that. We'll also discuss the terms of reference for the group, and also the up and coming Harmony Day on the 21st of March. On the 4th of March, I attended the Witten Project Selection. That's this year's Witten Project at Melton Youth Services. It was been a great programme last year, and I'm sure it's going to be an excellent programme looking at some of the youth that have applied to be on it. Some really, really good talent I think we've got coming through our youth. Also, on the 4th of the 3rd, I attended the Youth Consultative Committee, the first one. I attended it along with Councillor Carley. And that was an interesting meeting, getting all the new youth round the table and seeing how they adopt to the committees. So that was my month. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 19th of February, I attended the Early Years Partnership Committee meeting. We have a new chair, Natalie Barkay. Am I pronouncing it correct, I think? Yep. She's a principal at Corroy Primary School, so it's great to have her on board. We also had our former chair return, Jodie Knox, and it was a chance for us to say goodbye and thank her for the work that she'd done. She'd been on this committee for 5 years. There was a presentation from Sarah Grace, who works here at the Melton Council, and she spoke about getting active in the City of Melton and the programs that Council is running over 6 weeks, the 23rd of Feb to Saturday, the 11th of April. So for those of you who are interested, you can jump online and see what programs there are. We also spoke about the 2016 kindergarten applications and the kinder readiness sessions that are being held throughout the month of March. We also have a new community representative, Ivan Chan, from the Chinese school in Caroline Springs. So it was also great to have him on board. On the 23rd of February, I attended the Leisure Advisory Committee along with Councillor Turner. We spoke about the athletics hockey facility. We had an update. Arnold's Creek Recreation Reserve, Ovals Pavilion allocation. West Melton Recreation Reserve, tennis courts and pavilion. We also spoke about the Toolan Creek, that every Saturday at 8 a.m. there is a park run for any of those who are interested in that. And on the 4th of March, I attended the Youth Consultative Committee with Councillor Turner, as he mentioned. It was the first meeting. It was just to basically get to know the youth and for them to get to know us. But I do have to agree, it was great to see the representation from across all the schools, a lot of representation, and great to see youth who are really keen to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, I'm not going to elaborate, but during the last month, I've attended the Interfaith Council. Can you write that quickly, Mr. Bean? The Policy Review Panel, the Western Base, the Property Development Advisory Committee, the Road Safety Westgate Committee, the Early Years Partnership, the Strategic Health Forum, the Western Melbourne Tourism Board, the Audit Committee, the Roads to Zero Committee, the Community Learning Board, and the Community Safety Committee. If any councillor, if any resident that's still here wants me to elaborate on any of those that I haven't, please don't hesitate to ask. I think most of my councillors have touched on most of them. The Interfaith Council, though, I want to assure you, is advocating really solidly to ministers right across the board I think there's a delegation going to ministers every couple of weeks to talk about pertinent issues that face the interface councils. So please don't hesitate to contact me if you need those. Thank you. Now we'll move on to... Where is it? Okay. Could I please have a procedural motion for a motion for the recommendation before us?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation that the record of assembly of the councillors attached to this agenda dated 17th of February, 24th of February and 3rd of March 2015 be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for that recommendation?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. No? Okay. Now it's the public address by each councillor, and now I'm asking you for any functions that you've attended. And I may commence with Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 17th of February, I attended the turning of the sod for the New Burnside Heights Children's and Community Centre. It was also, can I say, wonderful to see Jenny McCarkos, MP, Minister for Families and Children and Minister for Youth Affairs, also there. On the 21st of February, I attended the Somersault event with my family. That was also a great night and a great turnout. And I know that it's sometimes I get a lot of residents say to me, why do you do it on the same night as White Night is being held? And I think if we did change the date, we'd probably find that we do get more residents attend. But it was still a great turnout. On the 5th of March, I attended the Women in Business Lunch with a guest speaker, Christina Carlson, founder and creative director of Kiki K Stationery and Homewares. Also on the 5th of March, I attended the Zonta International Women's Day dinner with guest speaker Katrina Rowntree. And I've also attended the launch of the youth strategy at Taylor's Hill Youth Centre.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 5th and the 7th of February, we had our budget sessions in Caroline Springs and Milton, and they were fairly well attended. There were a couple of good nights. Some good ideas come out of these sessions. On the 6th of February, I attended Pop Culture the Outdoor Movie Night at Hannah Watts. Mm-hmm. It was a castle, an old favourite. And the weather was actually fantastic for the night. On the 14th of February, I attended the National Chin Day 2015, and it was good to see them in their cultural dance and in their national clothes. And I must admit, the food's quite good as well. Of course, 21st, we were all at Somersault. On the 28th, I attended the official opening of the Display Village in Caroline Springs, in Diggers Rest, the Bloomdale Estate. I attended the City of Mooney Valley International Women's Day in the morning. And last Saturday, I attended the Melton City Council Men's Health Expo, done in conjunction with the Bulldogs Sons of the West Partnership, which is a men's health program that runs, I think it runs for the next 8 to 10 weeks, maybe a little bit more, every Tuesday and Thursday. So if anybody hasn't signed up, they should get in there and sign up. Every Tuesday night, it's all held at the Quest Hotel in Caroline Springs this year. Tuesday night is exercise routines, and then on a Thursday night it's more seminars about different health issues. So it's really a great health expo, and a good experience to get involved in. So I'd encourage some of the guys in the gallery I see here to get involved. On Sunday there, I attended the Holy Sri Durga's Celebrations Holy Fest, which is a festival of colour. It's always a good day. You got to go in your old clothes and get some beautiful paint thrown at you. And that was a really good day, though. There a big crowd as usual. Great turnout from the Milton City Police. There was probably about 10 police there. There always is every year. They put on a good show and really help out. And, yeah, no, that's me for the one. Wait a minute.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I'm still trying to get the red paint out of my watch from about 3 years ago. Councillor Magic.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will just mention the ones that have already been mentioned. So I did, I won't go into too much detail. I attended the turning of the sod at Burnside Heights Children Festival. I attended the Caroline Springs Community Budget Day. The Somersault Festival was terrific, as was mentioned. The Women in Business launch at Witchmount was fantastic. The only one that wasn't mentioned, Madam Mayor, because myself and you had attended the in-church opening at Caroline Springs at the Thai restaurant, but they originally do meet at Westwaters Hotel, where senior pastors Craig and Melissa Mayer spoke of their aim to foster a church together with their six daughters to embrace the community and assist in a way they can to make a positive contribution to our municipality. I wish them all the best and thank them for the contribution that they have made to this community so far. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Councillor Cagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to highlight one, like I normally do, which is International Women's Day, which was celebrated on Sunday, the March of the 8th, with the theme Make It Happen. The day was celebrated all around the world. It was an opportunity to celebrate the achievements of women while calling for greater equality. Here in our municipality, a dinner celebration was held by the Zonta Club of Melton at the Melton Country Club, an organisation of women helping women locally, nationally and internationally. And Katrina Roundtree from Getaway was a guest speaker. I'd like to commend the organisation for its achievements and hard work. And for the men in the gallery wondering when their International Men's Day is, it's actually on Sunday the 19th of November. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say every day of the year. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually attended the National Chin Day as well, which I always enjoy that day. Good food, yes. Budget session at Caroline Springs, which is always good to actually get some insight into what residents require, and hopefully the wish lists will be granted. Turning off the sod at the Burnside Children's and Community Centre, which is quite an exciting facility to try and keep up with our increasing growth. Somersault, which was fantastic. My daughter wouldn't let go of some of the boys in the Justice Crew, but she dreamt about them all night, I'm sure, as did many young girls in the audience. Celebrated the International Women's Day. It was a start at 5 p.m. Madam Mayor and myself attended the breakfast at Mooney Valley, and then we went to lunch with at Witchmount for council, and then the Zonta Club, which was already been touched on with Katrina Roundtree. They also gave an award to a local woman who, Leonie Patterson, which when she was stood up to accept the nomination, it was just very gratifying because she was, I don't deserve this, but when they started telling her life story, she was really well and truly deserved of it. And Katrina Roundtree, I can appreciate because she said that when she married her new husband, who's a farmer, she had to hand in her Jimmy Choo shoes for Blundstones, and I completely like to I admire that woman because I can understand exactly where she's coming from. I also turned to the elation, which I put into this bit. I also attended the inaugural park run, which meet at 7:30, and I didn't run. You can actually walk the 5Ks as leisurely as you like, and it's absolutely fantastic to walk along Arnold's Creek, and it brings you right through to the back of Strathtower. So I'd recommend to anyone to go along. You can take your dogs, your kids, whatever. Just take your time, but you have to get onto Facebook and actually register, because then you go on a time thing and they all keep telling you of who's done what and how long. I attended the youth strategy launch, which is wonderful to hear some of our inspirational youth stand up and hopefully future leaders. And I also spoke at the World Day Prayer at St Catherine's, and I'm pleased to say the church is still standing.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Now, I'll stand because there's a couple of things that I will keep with the... It's serious, but it's also... I will interject with some of my sophisms, as I like to call them. Firstly, I want to start off on a serious note and a happy one. And Councillor Madgley did touch on this. The Respite Centre, formerly known as Melbach House, Henry Street, Melton, the Department of Health and Human Services is now operating a respite service program from the facility until the 30th of June 2015. An expression of interest process is being prepared by the Department of Human Services for the community service organisations interested in managing the community-based respite service into the future. Council is pleased that the state government has agreed to continue the operation of this service in the short term. We are confident that by the end of the process, a far more comprehensive service will be available to our community. Although we appreciate and the support of our state member in Council's advocacy, I want to formally acknowledge the families that advocated to keep Melbach House open and continue the service. I want to thank our General Manager, Mr. Maurie Heaney, who in the October meeting was barraged by about 23 questions about Melbach House, who he himself and his manager, Ms. Coral Kamiri, had been in constant contact with the Human Services trying to get an outcome for Council, trying to get an outcome for this community. They worked tirelessly and endlessly to that account, and all we could say at that time, because election was looming, was please have faith in us, please be rest assured that Council's working for you, please don't lose the momentum, keep advocating to the Department of Human Services for your entitlements. And for that, I want to personally thank our General Manager and birthday boy, Mr. Maurie Heaney, and his manager, Coral Kamiri, for continuing to do that relentlessly, even though there was a lot of pressure on Council and its executive to deliver something. The community are going to be the outside winners. So for all those people that had the faith in us, thank you. And to the families that assisted and waited patiently, or sometimes not too patiently, thank you again. There are a number of wonderful things I want to bring to our attention. And sorry, before I go on, there will be a bronze statue of yourself, Mr. Heaney, at the front of the Melbach facility. I'll see to that. Please don't print that, ladies. Okay, in descending order. Pop culture, The Castle, what a movie. Fantastic. The 2015 Hunters Cup Racing Night. There were thousands there. It's a great to see that at Tabcorp Park. The grand opening of In Church, Imagine Nations. It's a Christianity church, and I was so moved. This family have seen a plan for Melton. They've moved their whole family down from the western suburbs of Sydney. There's six girls in this family. Four of them have just learnt to play in a band, and they, as Councillor Madgley can attest, they were sensational. You could have put them on the stage at Somersault and they would have wowed the crowd. We had a full five-day tour of Wanneroo and Joondalup and probably every other suburb, led by General Managers Mr. Maurie Heaney and Mr. Luke Shannon. They showed us every possible form of growth infrastructure we could possibly want or lay eyes on, and we were comparing and taking photos, and I don't think I have been to a more worthwhile or tiring tool of what we could have for our residents, and I think it was well worth the experience of going. National Chin Day, as everybody has said, I'm not going to make the comment that my CEO made to me 2 days after I attended that event, but yes, both my chins went. AJ's day was a sensational day, and I think it secured up to $20,000 of funding to the Royal Children's Hospital. I caught up with our wonderful volunteers for the Volunteers Information Centre, and there's nothing better than sharing a coffee, chocolate cake and Tim Tams with our volleys, even though they're on the 20% list of the 100%. So we'll get there. The Burnside United Netball Club hosted Councillor Majlik and myself, and I think I've been banned from shooting goals, but Councillor Majlik's a wonderful recruit. Churning of the sod, Burnside Children's Services, this council never ceases to surprise me. It's either developing, turning the first sod, or opening a centre. The growth in this municipality is second to none, and we're keeping time with all the demands set upon us. The Greater Melton Chamber of Commerce had an entrepreneurial accelerator breakfast. I also had a tour of the Melton Business District. I went into six different selected businesses and had a talk to the owners or the proprietors, and we actually got a lot of insight into that. If you bear with me, the Somersault Festival. The sounds, the sights, the fun, the flavours of our festival, Somersault. It's grown into one of our biggest community celebrations where people from all walks of life come together to share the experience and benefiting of life in our great city. We had festival performances by Justice Crew, and there were close to 15,000 people, and I don't know where we'd put it if white light wasn't on, so we might have to build another couple of ovals because Justice Crew brought the house down. The voice finalist Johnny Rolls was there, the Pierce Brothers, Njiri and C Major. As a last minute fill-in, he did bring the house down. I can't thank the events team enough, headed by General Manager Peter Bean and Dan and the girls, Heidi, Christine, Dom, Ruby, and now who have I forgotten? Maybe Scott, and a few, he's not a girl, but yeah, you know what I mean. They worked tirelessly, and they recruited people from everywhere, from local laws and from the CEO's office and everywhere to help on the day, and it went off flawlessly. It was sensational. The most important event I attended, or two, was the council's pre-budget engagement sessions, one in Melton and one in Caroline Springs, where everybody had the opportunity to be heard, and we had an opportunity to listen to the ideas and the proposals from residents that enabled me especially to continue to advocate strongly for council collectively for infrastructure programs and services that help meet the needs of our community. You'll have more opportunities as we get into the process, but for those that took the opportunity to get in on the front foot, there'll be a lot more deliberation held around that. Now, where was I up to here? There, Somersault. I talked about the in-church, the launch of the youth strategy. There was 10 out of the 14 schools represented, and nothing warms my heart more than to see leaders of or youth leaders in our future develop, bring constructive thoughts and processes to shaping what we do in the way of our youth strategy. And that was a great day. And I commend Maurie's team for everything they do in that field. The Western Region Mayor's Luncheon was held at the Community Chef, and I got to take some samples home from the Meals on Wheels. And can I tell you? They're fantastic. I've never eaten so well in most of my life, so I'm thinking of signing up. How old do you have to be?
Too young.
I'm too young, okay. The opening display, Village Bloomdale, Diggers Rest is really coming along in leaps and bounds. Clean Up Australia Day. We had so many more volunteers and so much less rubbish. So it either tells me that we're doing something right, all the communities actually taking pride in the area, and there's a lot less rubbish to be had, and they don't just look for the local creeks to dump their shopping trolleys in. So well done, and well done for Councillor Turner for assisting me on that day. He was sensational. He did the hard work. I just took the photos. The opening of Mawson's Gardens. Well, did I enter in a police car? Let me tell you. And I wasn't handcuffed. So it was bells and whistles all the way. It was sensational. Judging panel, the multicultural photographic competition. And I hate judging. I'm sorry, but everybody should be a winner. They were all fantastic. And the winners will be announced on Harmony Day. Then we get on to Women in Business Lunch. And everybody's spoken about that. Zonta's International Women's Day. We had Kiki Kay standing us, and I'm sure that's my daughter's favourite shop, so they were really grateful for the voucher I had to fight over. Zonta's International Women's Day, I'm going to make everybody really jealous here. Katrina Rowntree was sensational. She was so engaging and so wonderful with her time that I think everybody that was there had a photo with her. When I rocked up at Avalon Airport the very next morning at 6 a.m, I turned around and who's behind me but Katrina Rowntree, and she introduced me to the CEO of Jet Set, and she was still as bubbly and and I'm thinking, how did you do that? She really had some energy, that girl. She was absolutely wonderful, and what a great ambassador she is. I met today with the Melton Pad Group. They are sensational. Took 3 chocolate cakes, Councillor Matchlick, so I'm not learning the lesson. And I've had several morning teas with our different departments and units of council, and the Mayor's token to these is chocolates and Tim Tams. So sorry, guys. But I'm greeted with a round of applause each time, so I'm going to keep doing it. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to Notice of Motion 401. Councillor Madgley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that officers implement a new Community Achievement Award, specifically under the category of Melton Disability Award, for all future Australia Day celebrations. That Council presents to councillors some options as to what or who may be included in this category to celebrate and recognise the important contributions made by people and or organisations who are affected by disabilities.
Thank you, Councillor Madgley. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? It's been moved by Councillor Madgley. Sorry, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Madgley, did you want to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just ever so briefly, it is obviously near and dear to my heart, the issue of disability. And in the past, we have celebrated many of the achievements of disability awards in the Australia Day celebrations. However, I just thought that it might be a great way to continue to celebrate and highlight the specific individuals and or organisations that have contributed positively in this community for people with a disability. So thank you, councillors, for your support. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Councillor Madgley. We'll move on to item 15, councillors' questions without notice. Oh, sorry, I've moved on. Thank you, General Manager Peter Bean, for keeping me in line. I thought we'd put it to the vote. No? Does anyone oppose? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Councillors, questions without notice?
Madam Mayor, I have 2, if I may, and I'm happy to accept a written response from the executive members, that's fine. Yep. I would just like, I don't know who to direct this question to, but an update on the hospital committee and when we will be meeting again. That's my first question.
Yep. We would like to answer that question.
At the
last meeting of the hospital committee, there was a recommendation that came forward to council that effectively suspended the committee until funding, an outcome from the funding submission that had been lodged in relation to a health needs study. We still have not received funding for that, so therefore the committee hasn't been reactivated. But it's a matter that I can research fully and get back to you in some detail.
Thank you. My second question, Madam Mayor, is on the corner of Bantry Grove Hillside and Melton Highway, next to Council's Bantry Community Centre, are QIC still the owners of this land? And if so, have they discussed with Council what their future plans are? Thank you.
Through Madam Mayor, I can answer that, I think. Yes, the Queensland Investment Corporation do own the vacant property on the Melton Highway and have done so for many years. We have had discussions with them over the last 12 months where they submitted a draft master plan, if you like, for the development of the site, which was encouraging. Obviously, they haven't proceeded with anything on the ground. It's still a vacant property. But from a council point of view, I think we're certainly very keen to see that site activated and have local retail activities, a local supermarket for residents within that area. So we'll continue to talk to QIC to see that they don't continue to land bank the site. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Councillor Carling. Are there any other questions with that notice?
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor. I just was wondering if we could have an update on the bus stop on the Western Highway, please.
Yes.
Through Madam Mayor, I can answer that as well. Council will be pleased to know that as a result of the ongoing advocacy in that regard, Public Transport Port Victoria have agreed to relocate at this stage the two bus stops that are located on the inbound lane, so in other words, capturing traffic heading towards the city into the Rockbank Township. That's expected to occur in June and July, which is a little bit later than we had hoped, but that's the latest advice as of today. Public Transport Victoria will be communicating that formally to residents of Rockbank shortly and to Council. The benefit of that is that it will mean that residents who are catching the bus towards Caroline Springs, towards the CBD, will no longer need to walk across the freeway, which was obviously a very, very poor outcome. So community safety should improve significantly when those works are completed. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. And can I say that the other day I saw a lady with a pram trying to get across the Western Highway, and I had just heard that news, and I think it goes to say a lot that this council, through Councillor Dunn's motion, have continued to advocate for that to happen, and June or July can't come soon enough, so congratulations. Okay, any other questions without notice? Item 16, motions without notice.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a motion without notice that this Council no later than the 8th of September 2015 Ordinary Meeting of Council provide a report to Council and subsequently to the MAV with material of the short, medium and long-term consequences of rate capping in Melton City being a growth council.
Okay. And I was just going to ask if you had a copy. Thank you, Councillor Magic.
You're welcome, Madam Mayor.
Any other motions for notice? Item 17, urgent business. No. Okay, we go on to confidential business.
Madam Mayor, may I move a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated under 18.1, 18.2, 18.3 and 18.4 as documented in this page of 402.
Thank you. The motion before us now has been moved by Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us is moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those... Councillor Fairweather threw me right off. He wanted to stay. All those in support of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, and I really appreciate you listening intently. And I apologise for not noticing you earlier, Councillor Fairweather.